Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, the award-winning TV special Deer Hunt Wisconsin starts to air this week, and we're talking now with host Dan Small about the show and this year's hunt. Dan has been the host and producer of Public TV's Outdoor Wisconsin since it premiered. He also hosts and produces a weekly radio show. It's called Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. And, of course, he hosts the annual Deer Hunt Wisconsin specials. Has the way you hunt changed over the last few years? What questions do you have about the new rules and regulations? What about the film? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Dan Small, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Larry, thank you so much. It's good to join you again, even if it's virtually from home. Like, I think you're doing the same, aren't you?
I am indeed. It's a strange thing. You know, before we even start talking about the deer hunt, we had a listener contact us to ask you to talk about the sudden temperature drop that killed hunters 70 years ago on this day, 70 years ago. Remind us what happened.
Well, that was the notorious Armistice Day storm, and it's been called the Midwest deadliest day of duck hunting, and deadly for other folks as well. What happened was on November 11th, which was a holiday, it was deceptively warm across the upper Midwest, and you know, temps in the 60s, like what we experienced the last few days here, and a lot of hunters went out because it was a day off, and they were dressed lightly, and they didn't have the kind of gear that we have today to protect themselves. And pretty soon the ducks started flying, the winds picked up, and to make the story short, by mid-afternoon, it was just a terrible icy storm from the north that brought not only ducks, but extremely cold weather. I think when it was all done, Minnesota had 16 inches of snow, you know, 2 or 3 inches an hour. And guys stayed out too long because the weather was, the birds were flying, and then they realized, man, we got to get to shore. And, you know, they had rowboats and little outboards back then, and a lot of them didn't make it. And a number of people in Minnesota and Wisconsin died. A couple of Great Lakes boats on Lake Michigan went down, and people were lost. I think 150 people or so across the Midwest and even as far east as New York were killed because of that storm. And, you know, it's something that took the Weather Bureau by surprise. They actually reorganized shortly thereafter because they, you know, this happened on Monday on a holiday, and on Sunday the offices were closed, and they just didn't see it coming. And you know, that doesn't happen today. You know, you have the weather guys on a lot, and they talk about forecasts and that, but it was terrible.
Well, let's turn our attention to your special, and I had a chance to view it, which I was really glad. I got, you know, the insider's look, and it's great. I was thinking, how many of these have we had? You've been doing this for a long time now.
This is the 30th annual, and, you know, we've mentioned that in publicity, but I neglected to say it at the outset on the show itself. So, but yeah, 30 years we've been doing it.
And what still gets you excited about deer hunting after all these years?
Well, it's getting a chance to spend some time alone in the woods where I can just kind of unwind from all the craziness, especially this year, which is an unprecedented year. And production of this show was not easy this year because of COVID. So that kind of solitude is key for me, and also sharing time with my son John, who lived in New York City until last month. He actually moved back to Wisconsin, so he's been bow hunting our property now, and you know, I get to spend some time with him, and he's kind of featured in a cameo on the show this year. So you know, it's family time. It's really a tradition. We don't do a deer camp a traditional kind of out in the woods in a cabin deer camp. The last couple of years, we've kind of made deer camp at our friend Joe Russo's place. He lives outside of Washburn. But this year, we're all respecting social distancing, and I'll be at the American in Ashland. Joe will be at his house. John will be at his place, and we'll get together in the field.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those deer camps are going to go, maybe not even be attended in many cases this year. And it sounds like you've got a really good plan for being able to get out there. Well, tell us.
We hope so. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Well, tell us about the Deer Hunt 2020. You've got so much in this video that is just great. But touch on some of the points that you have.
Sure. Well, of course, every year we look at new regulations, and fortunately there aren't too many this year. We also do a forecast for each of the four districts of the state, and that I basically compile from what the biologists in each area report. And that information is available on the DNR website. We just condense it and present it, you know, in about 5 minutes. And then really the highlight for me of this show is several successful hunts. One, the lead segment in the show is a hunt, a young fellow in his 30s who stopped hunting for 15 years.
15 years. Yeah,
his dad died, and he's a friend of Joe Russo's, my friend up there in Washburn, and he said to Joe, "You know, I think I'd like to hunt this year." And so he did, and we were hunting in the same area, and he got a deer on opening day. And I won't tell you the whole story, but that's a hunter who has been reactivated, who's come back, and he's been hunting all fall. He's been sending me pictures of ducks and things he's been hunting, so he's, you know, he's back in the fold, and that was a real heartwarming story.
Absolutely.
Two family groups, the Whitcops, who hunt on, they use electric bikes to get it to their stands, and talk about the advantage of that. And we actually see Lori, the mom of the family, arrow a small buck. And then another family, the Zwiffelhoffers from up in they're up in Chippewa County or Eau Claire County, up there somewhere, and they hunt as a family, and the Raina, the mother, kills a deer, and we feature that deer. And gosh, there's probably another. Oh yeah, this Patrick LaBarbera hunting private land or public land rather.
Oh, yeah,
killed a nice buck last year. So three of those stories we actually were able to record last year during the bow season and the gun season, and this year we have just the one story of the Zwiffelhoffer story that was recorded during the bow season. So. Fortunately,
yeah,
we got
great.
Some stuff in the can. We got some stuff in the can last year. otherwise, I don't know how we would have done this show.
Oh, man. Are you finding a lot of hunters who are getting back, like that first fellow in the film, that are getting back into hunting or maybe starting for the first time?
Well, I think I would say yes, but I don't have any data to back that up. As you probably know, many, many more people got outside this summer and fall because, you know, they had more time. A lot of people were laid off. And because of COVID, we were told to keep our distance. We'll go outside. You know, what better way to do it? License sales are up. So I'm hearing that that there are new hunters. And, you know, every year there have been a few, well, not just a few, but, you know, I'd say hundreds, if not thousands of young adults who decided, you know, I want to harvest some of my own meat, and they have gotten into hunting. So I think that trend is, whether it really spiked this year or not, at least it's continuing.
Dan Small, our guest today, as we talk about 2020 Deer Hunt Wisconsin, the new video, as you're going to be seeing it this week, and we'll talk about how and so forth, when you can see it. Online or on television. It's great to have Dan with us. Questions for him about the deer hunt this year. I hope you'll join in. Give a call at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. And we have open lines. And we'll get you on pretty quickly. You mentioned, by the way, the regulations book. Talking about regulations for just a minute here. That new book encompasses everything in one little booklet.
It does, and that was a change for folks who are used to turning to certain pages for, new regs or the baiting regs or what counties are open for what season. It's all new this year, but it's pretty handy once you get used to it, and it's available online as well. You don't have to carry a paper copy.
And the new regulations, there aren't many new regulations. What are the major ones that come to mind for you?
Well, the ones that we looked at are really the counties that are closed to baiting and feeding. That is kind of a moving target. It changes depending on where new cases of chronic wasting disease have been located. So that is always updated, and that you have to go to the DNR website to get the current list. More counties are offering the antlerless only holiday hunt and or an extended archery and crossbow season this year. There's 32 counties. I won't try to name them all, but they're color coded on the page with the map, and there are only three buck-only deer management units for this year, and they are in the Northeast. I believe it's Northern Marinette, Northern Oconto, and then Florence, part of Florence County.
Yeah, it's Florence. Yeah. Well, let's take some calls here. David in Richland Center, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, David. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you. Is it safe to eat these deer?
Well, that's kind of a broad question. What we do is I assume you're talking about CWD, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We take all our deer in to be tested, and we don't eat them until we get results. And the results may take a week to 10 days, so that means you've got to have the deer in the freezer by then in most cases. But if it passes, if it comes back as how do they put it? They don't say negative. They say not detected. If it's not detected, then we feel it's safe to eat. And I know people who don't test them and have been eating venison from deer that they've shot in your county, in Richland County and Iowa County, where there's a lot of CWD and the deer looked healthy, and they say we're eating it, and they've not noticed any problem. So, but to be safe, I would test every deer I shoot. We test those that we shoot in Bayfield County, and that's one reason we hunt up there, because so far there hasn't been any CWD up there.
Yeah. And in the film, Deer Hunt 2020, you do have a piece on CWD centers, if I'm not mistaken, places you can...
Yep, that's right.
Explain that. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't go into a lot of detail there, but if you go on the DNR website, there is a page that talks about the testing locations, and there are a lot of them around the state. You can take your deer there, and if they're manned stations, there's an employee, a DNR person, or perhaps a someone who works at a convenience station or a gas station or whatever the location is, who will take the glands out of the neck, sample that deer, and take the information on where you got it, give you a tag, and so on. And there are a lot of other places, in fact, more of them, I believe, that are self-service kiosks. So you simply go there, you take the head of your deer, you follow instructions, you put it in a bag, you fill out a piece of paper, and you get a tag, again, that has a number that's coded to your deer, and you can check, you know, later on the DNR website whether that deer was positive or not. And if you have a big buck with antlers you want to keep, I would go to a taxidermist or a processor and have them do it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Dan Small, our guest today, host, producer of the public TV show Outdoor Wisconsin, and of course, he is the host for Deer Hunt 2020 Wisconsin. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the gun deer season with our guest today, Dan Small, who is host of the video 2020 Deer Hunt Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in. Questions for him about the deer hunt or about the video, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, and we have open lines to get you on pretty quickly. Judy in Vernon County wondered about hunter behavior on private land. She allows hunters on hers, but they don't always respect it in her mind.
Is that an email?
Yeah, that was an email. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Call a warden, I guess, is what I would do. We have private land up in Bayfield County, and we don't post it, but folks know who owns what property up there. And if we encounter hunters who don't have permission, we just politely tell them, well, we're hunting, and, we prefer you go somewhere else. And we haven't had any issues. If you have issues, I guess I would talk to a warden, or if it's a trespass issue, with talk to the sheriff.
Yeah, for sure. And Matt in Wausau was wondering about the overpopulation of deer. We've had it for seemingly for decades, and it's had an impact on sometimes entire ecosystems that are failing or behind because we manage for deer at the expense of everything else. It's not something you cover in the video, for I don't think, but comment on it?
Well, this year we did not touch on that. We have in the past talked about forest management, land management for deer and other wildlife. I think in some parts of the state there are too many deer, and in others deer are not as abundant. On our particular property, we have an abundance of deer, but we're very close to a town, and the deer, I think, go into town and into the parks when the weather gets bad, and they come out and they browse our land and our neighbor's land. And so we've seen a lot of young saplings, maples and so on, maples and oaks, browsed back. And so we're doing what we can to keep the herd down there. But, there's only a couple of us. And
yeah,
it varies. Larry, as well as I do, that deer populations, to quote Kevin Wallenfang, are not evenly distributed across the landscape. I think that's the bottom line there. And there are pockets of density, high density, and other places where they're not.
And as you, in your film, you point out where there are the, what shall we say, the hunting is more liberalized in those areas where the highest populations exist, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, and that's essentially through the antlerless harvest authorizations, what we used to call doe tags. If you buy a license, say, in Vernon County, you get, I think it's 3 free tags. In Door County, I think you get 5 free tags. I don't know many people who are going to shoot 5 antlerless deer, but the opportunity is there. And what the DNR is telling hunters in those areas is we have an overabundance of deer, so if you can use the deer and have the chance to do it, by all means, don't hesitate to take more deer. And, of course, Larry, you know, too, you can always donate the venison to a food pantry.
Yep, Absolutely. Marge in Sauk County, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Marge.
Hi. Yes, Dan, I have a couple of comments. First of all, I have 130 acres, and we had a bull hunter that got three deer, and of those three, two of them tested positive with CWD, and we're seeing an increase of that. We're also very concerned, not far from our property here, there was a dead albino deer found that had EHD. And just lately, about a month ago, we found one in our property as well. And that deer is not being eaten by anything. And it was a big buck. And my concern is, what science do we know that's causing these deer to die from EHD? And do we have any research being done on where testing will go for these kind of deer before they even get to the point of dying? You know, are they to the point that you can take them somewhere and find out about this EHD before you eat the meat?
It's a little bit out of my wheelhouse. What I do know about EHD is that it is caused by, and EHD stands for epizootic hemorrhagic disease. Don't ask me to spell it. But it's caused by the bite of a midge that lives or is the adult phase of an insect that lives in wet areas, marshy, swampy areas. And it's generally a warm weather disease. It affects deer in sometimes in pockets of infestation. I know in Crawford County there were a number of deer that died of that last year and maybe this year as well. I don't know about testing for it, and I don't know about edibility or the safety factor of eating the meat. I guess you'd have to do some research on that.
Yeah, we could bring that up on one of my first Wednesday of the month programs, and we have our wildlife ecologist Scott Craven and so forth on the show and bring that up. So Marge, probably the first Wednesday of next month, we'll probably be dealing with that. So thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Well, Eileen in West Salem asked if your 2020 show includes stories of people of color or their experiences hunting. Do they feel accepted among the hunter population?
The hunters who are what I would just globally say non-traditional, that is not your old white guy who's, you know, the basic deer hunter image anyway. We do not have any people of color on this year's show. We have in the past. We do have a number of women on the show. We have a segment on opportunities for hunters with disabilities as well. Monica Spaney, who heads up Accessibility Wisconsin, is on the show. We talked to her about opportunities for people who either are permanently disabled or temporarily disabled. And her goal is to get one of these, I call them all-terrain wheelchairs, but she likes to call them outdoor wheelchairs. That the one they're using now is the Action Track Chair. Get one in every county for people to use for free. So we feature that.
And I think, by the way, that is just a really a cool a part of that video. It's really something to have her talking and to see her in action on that track.
Yeah, yeah. She's a remarkable person. She was injured about 20 years ago, is permanently confined to a chair, and took up hunting after her injury, which is remarkable to me, you know. Her husband's an avid hunter. They've gone to Africa. She's shot deer, turkeys, you know, you name it. And she says it's almost like walking. And for someone to be, you know, that confined in my mind and yet feel as free as you and I do because we can get about the woods. It's just, yeah, she's an inspiration for sure. But you know, maybe next year we'll be able to do some, you know, get some people of color on the show. We don't have them this year.
Yeah. Let's go to Christina in Madison. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. My question was, I had proposed a resolution at the Spring Conservation Congress a couple of times, proposing the banning of lead shot for bullets and actually in fishing gear as well, because the instance of lead poisoning, not just in wildlife, but actually it can affect humans because there have been radiology tests showing how minute the lead particles are and how fast they or how far they go into the carcass of the animal. And I guess my question is there more talk amongst a lot of the hunting community? I know you're not a monolith, about taking steps to switch over to copper or non-lead shot.
Yes, there is. And in fact, we had wanted to do a full segment on copper, which is the it's the only alternative I'm aware of, or at least the most commonly available alternative for solid bullets or slugs. And it is available in both rifle and shotgun ammunition. We wanted to do a segment on that. Because of the COVID situation, we were not able to. However, at the very end of the show, where I talk about firearm safety, I make a pitch for using copper bullets. And my son and I are shooting copper this year. Our videographer, Dave Roll, has been shooting it for years. You know, we're making that pitch. And I know a number of hunters who are shooting copper now. It's not mandated yet. I don't know if it ever will be. Right now, it's big game ammunition is in short supply. I actually had to buy this online directly from the Federal Cartridge Company because I couldn't find it on the shelves.
There is a shortage this year for sure. And I was glad to see that you had that at the end, because it, Christina, it's right. It's something that would be nice to, if we could just turn all of that around so that lead shot isn't in use anymore. Because as you point out, I mean, you know, eagles, other wildlife feed on that as well as people. Mm-hmm. The gut piles or whatever, and there's opportunities for a lot of problems with wildlife in areas where, you know, that happens.
And, you know, the transition from lead shot to non-toxic shot for waterfowl and migratory birds happened, gosh, yeah. I want to say 30 years ago now, and a lot of people fought it, but we accept it now, and there are all kinds of options available, from bismuth to steel and tungsten and, mm-hmm. you know, everything in between, and some of those are more effective than lead at certain ranges for certain types of birds. So I would think, you know, it's not going away. The copper is not going away, but I think it'll be a while before it's universally required. I think in California they require it, but, you know, they're usually on the leading edge of those kinds of regulations.
Yeah. Dan Small, our guest. Questions for Dan. What open lines get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. One of the things I noted in the, and I enjoyed just kind of looking at or viewing, was the hunting tips that you had, and mm-hmm. hunting tips on public land and so forth. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, well, we had a guy named Mike Murphy, who has a company that it's called Whitetail Sanctuary Solutions. He will help private landowners develop habitat that attracts and holds deer. But we said, we want you to talk about finding a place to put a stand on public land, because a lot of people don't have, you know, private land they can manage. And so he walked us through, the main thing you want to do is find an area that other hunters don't want to go to. Maybe that's across a wetland or a swamp or, you know, a pond or something, but the deer will go there, and especially the trophy deer, mature bucks, want to avoid people. And so if you hunt right near the parking lot, like everybody else, you're probably not going to see a big deer. But if you get back into the woods, and he talks about how to do that, scouting and using maps and so on. So that's one, you know, one segment on that. And then I think I mentioned Patrick LaBarbera earlier.
Yeah.
He actually saw a roadkill, a nice 8-point buck roadkill, and he thought, oh, this is that deer came out of public land. Maybe there's another one in there. And I don't even know exactly where he hunted. I think I know the county, but I'm not going to give it away. But he did a little searching, a little scouting, and went in and found a place and scored a decent deer, decent buck. On land that he says is open to everybody, and nobody hunts it. So,
yeah.
You know, there are a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed in Barron County, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Hey, question for Dan. I've been doing some archery hunting in Barron County area, and we've had all sorts of crazy weather, warm and cold and warm and cold. And I'm wondering if Dan has an opinion on how that is affecting the rut. And I can take my the response off the air.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah, the short answer is it has no effect at all because the rut is determined by the estrus cycle of the does. And when they come into heat, if it's warm weather, cold weather, snowy weather, or whatever, the bucks are going to be after them to try to breed. Now, that doesn't mean that warm weather doesn't affect deer. It certainly does. They tend to sit, you know, sit during the middle of the day. But if the rut is on, it's not going to weather changes are not going to change the breeding cycle. It just may change their movement patterns a little bit, maybe move more at night or in the cooler times of the day. Something like that.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ed, for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, let's go over the deer forecast a bit. You do talk about it in the video, but what can hunters expect this year?
Well, in general, there are deer pretty much everywhere. The deer herd's in great shape statewide. There were some areas of the north that had pretty bad snow and some severe weather winter conditions last year, but and that winter severity may have killed a number of deer. But on the positive side, you know, after the first 3 or 4 days of the season last year, you couldn't hunt up in Bayfield and Ashland and Iron counties. We came home just before Thanksgiving, and it's a good thing we got out of town because, you know, there was like 1.5 feet, 2 feet of snow and it was cold. So the deer that survived that because nobody was hunting them or fewer people were, will be available this year. So I'm really anticipating that in those counties there will be more mature bucks this year. What the biologists have told us is that fawn production has been pretty good across the state. It's mainly a matter of finding a place where you have access and where you're not going to be one of a dozen other parties hunting the same property, and then doing a little scouting this weekend so that you know where you might want to go next weekend when it opens. There are deer available.
Yeah, there definitely are. And let's talk about how and when people can see the show.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, Deer Hunt Wisconsin Facebook page. So if you search for that, you'll find the complete schedule. But the show will premiere tomorrow night, and that's Thursday the 12th. At 7 p.m. on Fox Sports Wisconsin and Fox Sports North, and then at 8:30 p.m. on the PBS Wisconsin digital channel. That's the .2 channel that you can get, you know, through your cable service. And then at 9 p.m. on Milwaukee PBS, that's channel 10, And WDSE Duluth is going to air us on Sunday the 15th at noon. And then these other stations, all of those I mentioned, except for WDSE, are repeating the show from 2 to 5 more times. I won't go through the whole list because, you know, it's a,
yeah,
you won't keep track of it. But tomorrow night, Fox Sports at 7, PBS Wisconsin at 8:30, Milwaukee PBS at 9. That's the basic premiere anyway.
Yeah.
And then community stations, too. I want to mention that. Wisconsin
yes.
Community Media Association of, 40 or more. I don't remember how many stations altogether, but 25 or 30 at least of those stations will air the show probably multiple times starting tomorrow and through, right up into deer season as well.
Yeah, so there's lots of opportunities, and frankly, I watched it on my computer, but I'm looking forward to seeing it on a bigger screen.
On the big screen, yeah.
It's always fun to watch it on the big screen, so I'm going to tune in to Fox Sports North probably tomorrow evening and have a chance to look at it on a big screen. Well, Dan, it's always fun to talk with you, and certainly this is a tradition we've had for a number of years now as
yep.
I was looking back, and
yep.
I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today to talk about the 2020 Deer Hunt Wisconsin. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Larry, and good luck to all the deer hunters, and for questions or details, go to our Deer Hunt Wisconsin Facebook page. Everything will be there. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Dan Small, host, producer of the Wisconsin television show Outdoor Wisconsin. He also has a show, Outdoors Radio, with Dan Small, which I've heard many a time. And he's a contributing editor to Wisconsin Outdoor News. And, of course, the host of 2020 Deer Hunt Wisconsin. So it's great to have him with us today. We didn't talk with him at all about wolves. But you know what? We are going to talk about wolves, not so much in Wisconsin, really, but the wolves of Royal National Park. They were introduced to Royal National Park recently. New wolves were, and we're going to check in on how that population is doing next with our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.